Thank you, Daryl and Praise Team. I invite you to turn with me tonight to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to try something perhaps a little bit different as we go into this new church year. And I've entitled this message tonight, Foundations of Our Faith. And just basically, I'm going to try and won't just be me perhaps, but predominantly I usually share on Sunday night to do a different sermon from our daily readings all throughout the year. 260 different foundational passages that we're going to be dealing with throughout our weeks of reading in the Foundations book that I hope you have. And so tonight in Hebrews 11, one of our memory verses, it wasn't actually in our Bible reading, but it was part of our memory verses. So sometimes we'll do the memory verses, sometimes we'll do the actual passages, and there's a lot there, a lot to take in. I hope you've joined with us in that church-wide reading, and it will help us. And I'm even going to incorporate tonight some of the illustrations from some of the reading, and we're going to try to see where this goes. It may just end up being a terrible flop tonight. I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to have fun, and I'm going to share with you some of the things that God has challenged me. I think most of this, really, some of this came out of our staff meeting this week. Brother Don led in our staff, and we had a good staff meeting, and he shared some of the highlights of his reading. And at that point on Tuesday, we only had 2 days of reading because that was day two, except for those who cheated and read ahead. And I've talked to a few of you who've already on week two. I won't mention any names in here, and you're getting ahead of us a little bit. But that little study that you're doing, your daily reading, can be as deep as you allow it to be. And I hope that you will just take it in a slow pace and absorb it into your life and let it become. But it was just neat, some of the discussion that went around our staff Tuesday morning, to see the different insights that God was already giving us. And God's Word, it truly reminded me that God's Word is inexhaustible. There's just no way in this life that we'll ever fully grasp the depth of God's Word. But boy, what a challenge it is for us to learn a little bit more each day. And what a glorious privilege it is. There's something mystical. It's definitely spiritual, supernatural. But the best way I know to describe it, there's something mystical about how God interacts with us and meets with us and reveals Himself to us when we give ourselves to the study of His Word. And if you've been neglecting that area, then you've been missing out. It's marvelous. It's absolutely breathtaking at times. Psalm 1, we hadn't read that yet, but it reminds us that blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. And to delight in something is to fall deeply in love with it and to savor it for all its worth. And so as we were reading this week, and I turned over to familiarize myself with one of our memory verses that Ben shared this morning, from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, concerning Noah. And that's a rough verse to memorize, so you'll have to work on that a little bit. I'm still working on it myself. I'd try to quote it for you tonight, but I'd probably mess it up, so I'll just wait. But it's kind of a chop. But you're going to see week two that starts today or tomorrow, however your reading plan lays out, is going to involve the memory verses for next week are going to involve Hebrews 11, verse 6, and then we're going to skip down to the passage I'm not at tonight, and it's also going to involve verse 8 and 9. So as you see, we're learning sections of Scripture in our memory verses. Now, if you haven't started that, some of the high-tech staff guys were, boy, they were buzzing when we started talking about memory verses in staff Tuesday morning. Miss Maggie's shaking her head. Me and her, we're a little bit old school, okay? And so we sitting there. They're talking about all these apps you can use now to memorize Scripture. You know, and I still say, go get you a little 3x5 book card and write it down. And then write it again. And put it in your pocket. and I put the passage on one side and the, where it's found on the other side. You know, I get tickled. I had to share with you because the reference is, you know, like Hebrews 11 is our reference tonight. Well, I teach out at Renewal Ranch every week, and I love those guys. Love going out there teaching. And they are really big on scripture memory out there. That's a part of their rehabilitation is scripture memory. But God has told us to memorize God's word in our lives. And so if they can do it, I know we can do it. But, you know, I was talking to him one day, and one of the guys just in his simple, loving nature said, "Now, Brother Mike, what's the address of that verse?" And so that's kind of stuck with me. So sometimes you might hear me say the address of that verse instead of the reference where it's found. That's kind of good. So be sure and put your address on one side of that little card you're going to keep in your pocket, and then put the actual verse on the other side of it. And when you think about that, you'll pray for the guys at Renewal Ranch. I'm so very honored for the service we had here last Sunday night. I hope you were here. I've heard great comments about it. God is blessing that ministry, and we're enjoying it together. And it's been a wonderful relationship we've had with them, and especially be in prayer for them as we bring on about 10 new candidates, individuals into the program this very week. And I'll get to meet a lot of those in a morning as we launch into this new year. So tonight, our text, Hebrews 11, 1 through 7. And what you're going to see, the reason I chose this text is because it's an overview of our first 4 days of reading. It doesn't incorporate the last day of reading, which was Job. And we got really challenged in that little reading on Friday or Saturday, whenever you read it. Or for some of you who are a little behind today, when you go home tonight, you're going to read Job because you're going to get through with it and you're going to launch on into next week. And if you do get behind, I've talked to some people, just read 2 days reading on one day till you catch up. You'll catch up, and it's not undoable. And so don't sell yourself too short. You can do this, and God will help you, and God will bless you in the process, as we'll see even from this passage tonight. So this is what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to go through, and each week on Sunday night, just pick out some of the real nuggets, the foundations of our faith that come from God's word. And so 1 through 7 in our text tonight gives an overview of some of last week's reading. And that's the reason I chose this passage, because it lets me preach a lot more passages than if I just went to one of those in the Old Testament. We'll have just an introduction to a lot of these passages. Okay, so I'm going to read for us tonight verse 1 through 7 of Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and it's the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation or their approval by God. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gift. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him up. Now, before he was taken up, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this wonderful passage tonight. And Lord, I know in some respects this passage truly is overwhelming to me. It involves so many wonderful stories, and it reflects upon so many heroes of the faith. And even as we begin our study tonight, Lord, in sort of an overview fashion, just reminding and encouraging our church family to be diligent in their daily reading and time with this little guide that we've provided and this resource this year. Father, I pray you'll bless our church family and you'll bless the reading into each and every one of our lives, Lord, that it will draw us closer to you and that we will learn of you and we will spend time with you so that we can be like Enoch of old and we can walk with you. Lord, what a privilege it is to know you, to serve you, and to be able to share you. And we pray for preaching grace even tonight as we share from your word. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this a little passage of scripture together tonight, we'll see that the overview of some of the highlights of our reading last week, and I'm thankful for what Ben is challenging us in, and some of our other technology team and guys that even on Facebook or Twitter, if you're into any of that, and if you're not, you can always just pick up the phone and call somebody or get together for coffee and meet with somebody. I started doing that last week with one of the young members of our church. I met a young man early one morning, and as our discipleship series for the whole year, we're going to be going through Foundations of the Faith reading together. And we're going to be just doing simple discipleship and trying to encourage one another. And hopefully there'll be a lot of little groups like that that will incur from us. Now, as we look in the first three verses of our text that I read to you tonight, first of all, I want us to see the declaration of faith. And some people call this, it's been kind of referred to as the definition of faith. Some other writers will call it the description of faith. I just like the word the declaration of faith, because he just declares to us here what faith is. And he helps us understand some of the inner workings of faith. Although this isn't a formal definition of faith, it shows us a lot of the nature of what true faith is in your life, in my life. And so God just throws us right in here in this great chapter of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And so he gives us this short description of faith here in the first verse. He says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And there's enough there just to wrap our hearts around and our minds around tonight to challenge us. Because he starts out by just telling us simply that it's the assurance of things that are hoped for. When we look at this word assurance, it's kind of interesting. If you'll turn just a few pages back over in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. And you look in here. And you see in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 1, and it's talking about Jesus Christ. And in this passage, it's talking about Jesus Christ. He is the radiance and the glory of God. And he said the exact representation, he says here, the exact imprint, as some translations say, of his nature, and it's comparing Jesus to God. The same word in the Hebrew language, in the Greek language, is used there in Hebrews 1 verse 3 when it talks about that Christ Jesus is the exact imprint or the exact representation that's used here in our passage in Hebrews chapter 11, back to Hebrews chapter 11, that it talks about faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So this word assurance, it's not just some shallow, I hope so type faith or type thing. When it tells us this assurance here, from a biblical perspective, assurance is speaking here of the essence, the very real content that is involved. And that's what God's telling us that our faith becomes and our faith is, as God blesses us and encourages us in our lives of faith together. So faith is the absolute certainty. The absolute certainty of things that our world considers unreal and impossible. Through the eyes of faith, the unreal, the unseen, become seen and become real and become known. Now, on a worldly level, that makes no sense at all. But on a spiritual level, for those of us who've seen the things and experienced the things of God and walked with God and talked with God and loved God for many years, my faith becomes a greater reality than the floor I'm standing on tonight. And that needs to be, in essence, something that we grasp a hold of and something that we appreciate. Because as we begin our reading this last week and we started looking, it takes faith, as we're going to see, to believe all the things that God tells us in His Word. But the cool thing about that faith is, as God gives us the ability to believe in Him, He tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are you saved through faith." That's not of yourself. What's not of yourself? Your faith. It's a gift of God. Wow. God's the one who instills within the nature of our very beings the ability to believe in Him. He gives us the ability to know what some would say, some atheists or some agnostics, to know the unknowable in their minds. He's not unknowable to us, amen? He's a constant, present reality. In fact, He's the greatest reality that I've ever experienced. He's more real than this life itself. I've seen Him, I've talked with Him, I've experienced Him, I've walked with Him, and so have you. And this passage is a scripture, and as we go through and we read God's Word and we look at the saints of old, as we've been starting to read in the book of Genesis and even in Job this last week, then it should just set our faith on fire. Because we saw them understanding that this faith was the assurance of things that they had hoped for, things that were promised to them, things that were told to them as they were simply just living in accordance to God's Word. One of the simplest working definitions of faith, one that I think you can take home with you tonight that's helped me through the years, is just simply this. Faith is taking God at His Word. That's what faith is. Taking God at His Word. That's what the saints of old did. God would reveal Himself to them. God would speak to them. God would teach them, as we're going to see even in some of the passage tonight, that we're going to have some highlights of some of our reading. But as we look at this declaration of faith, we become very aware that this is something very special because it's the assurance of things hoped for. And then He goes on, as in a Hebrew poetic form, and gives us a parallel to that definition and says it's the conviction of things. Now here it is. Not seen. He says it's the conviction of things not seen. Here we see our faith going to the next level. From just the assurance of things hoped for, now it's the conviction of things not seen. And a life of conviction is a life that's not only letting faith become a reality internally, but now faith becomes a reality externally. In our lives of faith, in our lives of faithfulness, we see our outward manifestation of the inward assurance that we are hoping for, because also faith is the conviction of the things that aren't seen. And so I know these things to be so. See, the unseen becomes the seen through the lives of faith. And that's the reason you believe in God and you choose to follow God and you love God and you believe in His Word and you take God at His Word when the whole world is laughing at us, it seems like, and making a mockery of Christian beliefs and Christian virtues as we understand the things of God. But yet we know that God is giving us the ability to see Him and know that this is real. And we say things like, for instance, well, God spoke to me. And somebody says, well, did you hear Him audibly? And I say, no, it was louder than that. Why? Because my life of faith, because I understand that. And I get that as God is leading me by His Spirit and the unseen becomes seen. And we grasp that and we realize that. And there's many passages of Scripture that talk about that. I think about the passage over in 2 Corinthians. It's just a little quick passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When God's giving us encouragement and He says, so we do not lose heart, though our outward self is wasting away and our inward self is being renewed day by day. He says, for whatever you're going through that He describes as a light, momentary affliction It's preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And then in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, as we look not at the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen, they're eternal. They're the real things. They're the things that are going to outlast us forever, that we're going to be partaking of in throughout all eternity. So we see this and we grasp this and we love this and we appreciate this. I'll never forget when Thomas was up there in that upper room after the resurrection in John chapter 20. And Thomas said, I won't believe him. The disciples were there. They met with Jesus on that night of the resurrection. And Thomas was goofing off or something. No, I don't know what he was doing. But he missed out. A week later, Jesus reappeared and Thomas was there. And Thomas had told him, I won't believe unless I put my hand in his hand. And Jesus said, Thomas. And Thomas immediately knew it was real. He saw Jesus. And Jesus told him in that passage, you can check it out and read it. John chapter 20. He said, Thomas, blessed are you because you've seen and you've believed. But he said, really, blessed are they who've not seen and yet have believed. And what Jesus was saying is, we've really seen, but we hadn't seen with the physical eye. We've seen with the spiritual eye. We've seen and we've experienced and we've tasted the things of God and we know they're so. And all of this feeds into our lives of faith as we incorporate this and we walk with God. And so we see this. Now, verse 2 of our text in Hebrews chapter 11, as the writer goes on to talk about, as he gives us that little description of faith. And then he kind of dives right in there and he talks about by it, and that it there is faith that he's talking about. He says, by faith, the people of old received their commendation. And so what is he talking about this at? He's saying by their lives of faith, the people of old, the Old Testament saints were approved of God through their lives of faith. And that's what he's telling us here as he's introducing us to the whole overview concept of faith here, as he's fixing to introduce us to the God's hall of fame or the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. He's saying it was by their faith that God approved of them. And we need to understand that it's our lives of faith that's even going to take us daily into the Word of God to desire God's Word and read God's Word. It's through our faith, our belief that there is a God and He's real, as we're going to see here in just a minute in one of the other verses in our text. And we're going to grasp that on a whole new level, and God's going to continue to pour out and help us have a deeper understanding of this. And so by it, by their lives of faith, God commended them. And I want you to know it's by your life of faith tonight that God will commend you. God will approve of your life through your life of faith. Your life of faith evolves into your life of faithfulness and your life of commitment as we see this. But as we move on to our text and he explains even more of this, he says, by faith we understand that the universe was created, and here it is, by the Word of God. Boom. That's the big one. Don't miss it. The universe was created by the Word of God. We understand that. How do we understand that? By faith. It's the creation account. We read about it last week in our reading, especially in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. And we read about how God unveiled the life of faith. And so the holy Word of God is truly the essence and the substance and the source of our faith. And so it's by our faith we understand this, that the universe was created by the very Word of God. And there's a catch there for us, because Romans chapter 10 verse 17 tells us this great little phrase, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And what we're trying to encourage you to do this week, and let me just put it down here on the bottom shelf so we can all understand it. When we ask you to read your Bible every day and use the foundation of the faith as a guide, and you can read your Bible without that little book, hopefully you will, but that's a good user-friendly way to help all of us kind of do something together, which is kind of neat as a church. Gives us common things to share and discuss. But as we see this and as we understand this, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith will not grow outside a relationship with the Word of God. Some of you struggle with your lives of faith. There's a lot of doubt that surfaces. The devil's been toying with you and working overtime in your mind. Is this stuff real? You wouldn't dare go through a week without feeding yourself physically. If you did, you'd be getting very weak by the end of the week. A lot of people who call themselves Christians go weeks and months without any Bible intake and any reading of God's Word. Faith comes by hearing. See, every day when I open up my Bible and I spend time with God, God's helping me feed my faith. I'm feeding my faith. And so I understand that the worlds of old were created by the Word of God. What a wonderful thing that is as we understand that from Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. As we could sit there and we can look at that because we are nurturing this relationship. You know, when God showed up, I loved the very first verse. It was my very first day of highlight last week. If I just turn back the page and give you a view at how I highlighted my Bible reading from that day, it says, "In the beginning, God." Now, we could stop right there. It goes on. But, folks, that says a multitude of things. In the beginning, God. He was there. He's always been there. And in Genesis 1, verse 1, the very first verse of God's Word, he just reveals himself to us. You know, the unique thing about the Bible that I think is pretty neat for us to understand, and in the Bible, God doesn't set out, in a sense, to prove his existence. That's not what the Bible's about. The Bible simply states the fact that he is. There's a lot of people who doubt a lot of things, but God, he just says, "I am." That's what he told Moses. "Who will you say sent me, Lord? I am that I am. Always have been, I am today, and I always will be. Past, present, and future. He is the great I am." And in the beginning, there he was. God. In the beginning. And that word God, there's Elohim. And it shows the plurality of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they're all there together in perfect harmony. And then God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. And he kept saying, for all 6 days of creation, and God said, let there be. He created. And the word create there is the Hebrew word bara, which means to create something out of nothing. Now, you and I can go out and we can build something, but before I can build a table, guess what I got to have? A tree. I got to have something to build it with. God made this whole universe out of nothing. He just spoke it into being. You say, how is that possible? Well, he's God. And I don't understand all of it, but he did it, and I believe it because his word says it. And I've said that before. Brother Don said that before. I saw that bumper sticker years ago. It's an intriguing little bumper sticker theology. I'm always, for some crazy reason, drawn to those things. Simply said, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. You know, we don't really have to believe it. God said it. It settles it. Your believing it is a privilege. It's something God gives you the ability. That's your faith. But it is a good, simple way to overview the subject of God. And that's what Genesis 1 introduces us to our great Creator. Amen? And so as we see that and we understand that, and we understand that by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. And I explain that to you in the sense of the word creation as we understand that. And God just showed out in creation. You know, as we see all the things he created, hopefully you read those things. If you didn't, you'll go back and you'll read them. You know, he created the atmosphere. God just spoke it into being. And the expanse of the sky, the heavenly bodies, the plant life, the sea life, the wildlife, and finally, human life. Amen? The height of his creation was you and me. And he took extra interest in us. And so in our other memory verse, Genesis 1:27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he made him. Male and female, he made them." And then in Genesis 2:7, he tells us, "Then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the very breath of life. And God gave us our being." And so God created us, and that's where mankind came from, and we believe in that. We believe in the biblical account of creation, amen? And those are one of the foundational passages of our faith, and if you go on any university or college campus throughout this nation of ours today, that is one of the beliefs, the foundational beliefs that is being challenged more than any other challenge, especially at secular universities and state-run universities. The Christian views on creation are being just laughed at today in the world we live in. Yet we continue to believe because we know these things are true, and no one's proved them wrong yet, although many, many have tried. And so truly the Word of God gives us the substance of our faith, because God created the whole universe out of the Word of God. He spoke it into being. And that should encourage us to want to follow him and know him better and to sit at his feet. And we see that. So there we see just a brief introduction to what I called, and we'll get into more of it, the declaration of our faith. Now as we move on and we see just in the end tonight, and by the way, this only has 2 points, okay? This little sermon. The demonstration of our faith. The demonstration of our faith. Faith is demonstrated. Who is it demonstrated by? Well, in verse 4, it's demonstrated by Abel. And then we move on down to verse 5. It's demonstrated by Enoch. And we see that. And then in verse 7, it's demonstrated by Noah. And hopefully you got through those days of reading. And if you hadn't, you can go back. And I love the fact, and I said this to my life group class this morning, and I believe this with all my heart. And the longer I study God's Word, the more I see it to be true. The best commentary on Scripture is Scripture itself. And God gives us insights right here in Hebrews chapter 11 that help us understand those first few days of reading that we read over in Genesis. And so he's revealing to us many wonderful things from his Word about himself. He says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain." What a great passage this is. "Through which he was commended as righteous." And we know that when we read that, we understood all the details to that. God commending him, and by accepting his gifts, and through faith, though he died, he still speaks. What a powerful passage that is that tells us of righteous Abel, who was the second son born to Adam and Eve, the first parent the people ever created. And his brother Cain killed him and murdered him because he was jealous and envious of his sacrifice being acceptable, because he brought the sacrifice from the flock, because he was the keeper of the herd. And God challenged Cain on that, and he called him out on it. And when you read that, you read how God doesn't tolerate our sinfulness, and he calls us into account when we drift from him and when we go a different direction. And we understand this. And so God commends Abel here thousands of years later as we see this and we understand this. And what a wonderful tribute it is to him. And it's a tribute to all lives of faith, that the just shall live by faith. And God will commend it unto you as righteousness, even as he says here. And so God does that when we believe in him, when we follow him, when we obey him, when we sacrifice and we worship to him. And God honors us by declaring us righteous. And that's what God does in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so Abel was foreshadowing that way back there in the Old Testament when he offered the sacrifice of his lamb, the blood sacrifice, because that was the only sacrifice that was received by God to recompense for our sinfulness. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And so that's the story behind the little highlight passage here. And you can go back and reread that if you hadn't read it. But this will make more sense to you. And you see that. And I love the little inscript about Abel here, the demonstration of his faith. As his faith was being demonstrated in our reading, that although he's dead, his life still speaks. You know, even after he died and God showed up, and you read that this last week, it said that his own blood was crying out. That's the way the book of Genesis says it. But what it was talking about even fuller in this passage is that once you and I pass from this life, our life of influence will continue to speak volumes if you've lived a life of faith. It doesn't die, because these great heroes of the faith continue to inspire us and to encourage us to live the lives of faith. And then, in the very next verse, the demonstration of faith was Enoch. What a man of God Enoch was. You know, we're told a little bit about Enoch over in the book of Jude, by the way, another commentary on Scripture by Scripture, that he preached. And he was faithful to God. Jude gives us that little obscure insight, cross-reference there. But the Bible tells us that Enoch, and over in Genesis, it tells us he walked with God. And his life, it tells us here, was pleasing to God, and therefore God took him. You say, explain that, Brother Mike. I can't. But it must have been pretty cool, amen? Because he did a similar thing with Elijah years later, when Elijah was caught up in that great chariot of fire. But I know, although he may not do it that way, God still takes saints home today. Whenever he gets ready, he takes us home and we're no more. Now, God did this in an unusual way, a supernatural way. But just imagine loving God and walking with God so much that God just calls you on home. And God becomes your deepest heart's desire. Not only your desire, but also, as I said earlier, your delight. You know, we are wasting away on far less things than what God has offered us. The greatest things. The greatest gift that God's ever offered us is the gift of Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ, and a way to know Him in a personal way. So we see this and we grasp a hold of this and we understand that Enoch walked with God. And folks, I'm going to tell you this, and you might as well take this to the bank and understand it. If you'll commit yourself to this reading, and you'll really start walking with God, your life will be pleasing to God as well. And I don't know about you, but there's no one I'd rather please than Him. And I want to just tell you the reverse side of that. If you're not spending time with Him, don't fool yourself into thinking that you're pleasing Him. You're not. And I'd be wrong to misrepresent the truth. Because these saints of old, they took this stuff serious. This is what they lived for. This is what they died for. Their relationship with God. And then he shows us a demonstration of faith in a very personal way in verse 6 when he says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God." And I thought about this as I was preparing this message, because this is such a wonderful passage. It's going to be your memory verse for next week, verse 6, by the way. That whoever would draw near to God, you must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. But you know where verse 6 fits in? It's a demonstration of your faith and my faith. It's a demonstration of all the lives of faith through the centuries. You and I are the whoever in verse 6. When God says that without faith, you and I can't please God. And so we have to believe in God. We have to take God at His word. We have to go forward in our lives of faith, believing that God can and will do great and awesome things as He's called us to do, and being obedient to Him in whatever areas of the Christian life He's called us to. And so without faith, it's impossible for you to please Him. And I want to please Him, as I've already said, from Enoch's life. And I hope you do as well. And we must believe that He exists. And this is the whole beginning of your life of faith, just believing that God is. Now, that's not the full sense of salvation, but then that will get you one step closer. That's the first step toward God, believing that God is. You got to understand that He is. Many men fight against that. That's where atheism comes from, and God tells us even in His word about that. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Basically, the fool is saying in his heart, no God for me. Kind of an agnostic sense. There may or may not be a God. I really don't care if there is. I don't have time for Him. One day, he will live to regret that. And we must challenge them and encourage them. And then he moves back in. And he stirs it up. There's much more that could be said, but we end with Noah tonight. He was warned by God concerning events yet unseen in reverent fear. I love that. In reverent fear, Noah constructed an ark, a big boat. He built a boat, a big old boat. Why did he do that? For the saving of his household. He built an ark so he could save his family. Through the lives of faith, men here tonight, God's going to let you build an ark of sorts, an ark of protection around your family. It's the word of God. It's your faith in God that you're building each and every day. Noah, it took him 120 years to build that boat. But you're going to be building that ark throughout your life. And that's going to be the only thing that's ultimately going to save your family and your household is that ark that you're building. And there's another great demonstration of a life of faith. I don't know about you. As he did that, he was condemning the world because the light of God, as he preached and he built and he worshiped God continually. That was the life of Noah. The world was rejecting that, but they were working on their own self through that, their own condemnation. And our world's doing the same thing. When they reject the faith that we believe in and that we try to share with them, and they continue to just ignore God and live their own lives void of God, and they laugh at us because we go to church every Sunday, and they laugh at us because we're so yielded to Christian ministries and to the things of God. Yet our very lives are going to bear witness against them one day, just like Noah's did here in his generation. He condemned the world, and he became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So as I close tonight, I know I went long on this, but there was just too much there for me to even really grasp this week. I felt overwhelmed in my study. I just want to ask you, as we've been challenged through lives of faith, what is God calling you to do right now that makes no sense, humanly speaking? And you're toying with it. But you want your life to be a life of faith. You've heard God's declaration of faith, God's description of faith. And you want your life to be a demonstration of faith. Because we're not just reading this so we can check out the Bible history. We're reading this so God can use it to ignite our lives so we too will be great men and women of faith that will have lives pleasing to God. Let's stand together. Brother Darrell's going to lead us in just a short invitation. And if there's a prayer request you have tonight, I'll be here in the altar to pray with you, encourage you, receive you. Or if God is moving in your life and calling you to step forward in a life of faith, we'd be glad to pray with you about that as well as we sing.
My faith has found a resting